Dan, is that for me? Oh, okay. Here we go.
I will explain. There we are, just something to intrigue you. If you have a Bible, I have to say I had to borrow someone else's because I forgot to bring mine today. But I found this really nice one upstairs, which I think is Ginny's. So I'm not going to take it with me. Could you find, in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 55? Which I will read in a moment. Just get myself sorted. It's great to see a worship team with a distinctly younger average age. Thank you so much, Isabel. Oh, that was wonderful. And Andrew. And I will just give a special mention to Will as a bass player. Please could you show me that... Where are you? Please could you show me that fill you did during Ancient of Days a little bit later on. Thank you very much. Okay. It's for the Lord's glory, but I just thought I'd say well done. So if you're in Isaiah chapter 55, there we are. I'm going to read that, and you can follow through with me the whole chapter. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I've made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he'll have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. I'm excited about this. Could you just turn to another scripture to help us unpack this? And that is in the book of Acts, chapter 3. I'll just read a few verses. They'll actually come up on the screen. They may already be there. I'll just find this in front of me. So Acts chapter 3, verse 18 to 20. Here we go, just a little bit more. So Peter here, the Apostle Peter, is speaking to a crowd of onlookers. And he says, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed to you, even Jesus. Oh, I went to further, didn't I, into verse 21. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. And I just think it's special. We're going to look at verse 19 in just a moment. But it mentions there a few times how the prophets have foretold some good news. And we've been going through kind of a few selected highlights, a few selected chapters of one prophet in particular, Isaiah. And we've kind of entitled that the Good News According to Isaiah. He's such a significant figure in the Old Testament. He, for us, he's kind of like made a bridge from Old Testament pictures to do with Exodus and God's rescue of his people then, building a bridge that points forward to all that God would do in Jesus. So it's almost like reading another gospel. It just happened to have been written hundreds of years before Jesus was born on the earth. And it has this phrase, and you can see there now in chapter 3, verse 19, Peter's encouragement: repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Now, you might remember the last time we were looking at Isaiah, we were looking at chapter 53. This awe-inspiring chapter that describes one that we would call the suffering servant. The servant of God who would suffer in our place. And that chapter makes it abundantly clear that for our sins, for going astray, and turning our face away from the Lord, all of our iniquity, all of our sin, all of our transgression, all of our guilt, all of our wrongness was placed upon somebody else, this suffering servant. So it's one of the clearest descriptions of Jesus you're going to find. In fact, it's the only physical description of what Jesus looked like is in that chapter in the Bible, where it says he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Jesus wasn't a looker. And then on the cross, he became the most despised, rejected, a ridiculed, ugly figure of a man, as God placed upon him all the sins of his people. And so we saw there in chapter 53, how is it that good news comes to us? Well, the good news comes to us by one person, by this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has suffered in our place. And the punishment that brought peace to us was on him. He received the punishment. We get the healing. We get his righteousness. We get his goodness. We get a right standing with God. It says, by this, he has justified many. And so we know that we can celebrate the gospel, which means that it is, by faith in Jesus, just as if I had never sinned. All my sin, all of it taken and put on Jesus. And even if I try and go look for it now, I can't find it. It's been removed from me, the psalm says, as far as the east is from the west. It's a great cause to rejoice. Just going back to that verse in Acts chapter 3. It talks there about, look, turn to God, repent, so that your sins may be wiped out. How does that happen? You go to the next slide. That phrase there, that your sins may be wiped out. That's Isaiah chapter 53. And it's wonderful good news. But as we see as well, there's this next phrase, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And today I'd like us to spend some time thinking about times of refreshing. The forgiveness that we've received from the Lord is not the final destination. It's actually just like a point along the way to now experiencing, there we go, times of refreshing. And I wonder if you've ever had this experience. You know, the fear of missing out. Anyone identify with sometimes having the fear of missing out? This can happen spiritually in a church community. Thank you, I see those hands. It can happen spiritually. We can have a spiritual fear of missing out. You know what happens sometimes for Christians in a church like ours? Well, every now and again, as elders will decide, let's have a day of prayer and fasting. So we're going to go without food. We gather together like this. We worship God. You can kind of already sense in the room. There's just, because we're fasting, it kind of highlights our appetite and desire for God. And you can kind of tell people mean business today, and worship's just up a notch or two. If that doesn't sound wrong. And then through the afternoon and into the evening, we have 3 1.5-hour sessions. Okay? And you're like, I'm fasting, I love the Lord, I'm going to seek him, I know that some of these sessions are just going to be hard work. We're praying about things that we care for. But I know there's going to be one session that, like, the lid comes off. This is just, like, glorious. It's no longer just a deliberate decision. I'm going to pray. I'm going to discipline myself. This is healthy. I want to grow in prayer, so I'm going to do the stuff. You know there's going to be that one session which is just like, and God's here. Oh, my goodness, he's right here now. And that's the one session that you don't go to. Has anybody had that experience? And you don't know it straight away. I see those hands. You don't know it straight away, but maybe you get to meet with like your small group later in the week and you turn up. So let's just talk about Sunday. And everyone else was there. Oh, I do you know what? I've just never felt so close to God in my entire life. I don't think there's ever going to be another meeting like that on the earth. And everyone's like, oh yeah, I'm totally with you. And then it comes around to you and they just, oh Dan, I'm so sorry. Were you not there? Like, you're an elder of the church. I thought you were there at everyone. It's like, look, I love the Lord, but I, got other responsibilities. And every elder doesn't go to every session. That's all right as well. It's okay if you don't go to every session. I was like, but God, am I not in step with your spirit? And so you think, massive refreshing was available, but only if you made it to that particular session. And then it comes to prayer later on in the same small group, and they're like, oh, Lord, thank you so much. Goodness me, it's still here, it's still with me. The abundance of the Lord. I'm so refreshed, Lord. Thank you so much for what you did in the third session that Dan didn't go to. So, Heavenly Father, I do pray, if you can, like over these next few weeks and months, actually, it might even be years. I don't know how long it's going to be until this moment comes again, but oh God, bit by bit, would you help Dan more? May he just walk in your spirit a little bit more. And so the next time we have prayer and fasting, when it comes round, then he knows which session, he just intuits which sessions to actually go to. And so the next time comes around and I'm like, right, I'm going to the third session. I'm going to go home, I'm not going to have lunch. I'll just rest for a bit, I've got some ironing to do, or blah-de-blah. I'm being responsible. I might even pray by myself for a bit. But I'm going to make sure I'm at the third session. And would you go and believe it? The first session is absolutely amazing. Sometimes we can kind of think that the refreshing in God is available, but almost like you've got to crack the code. You've got to make the right choice. You've got to, and sometimes I'll talk about that later. We use certain language that kind of emphasizes that. Anyway, we're going to talk about times of refreshing that aren't just, you had to be there, and if you made it, great. If you didn't, well, I mean, does God even love you? I'm not sure. I'm exaggerating. That's not what I think, but I'm just wondering, that's what sometimes we might hear in our own heads. Now, to explain, unfold this passage and to help us, we're going to look now at the I've brought with me, the box of abundance. Okay? And you could go home this morning with the box of abundance, albeit there is a condition. You need to be a teenager. Oh. Now, my kids know what's in that box, and they want it for themselves. And I've explained to them already, you can't come. Like, it would be like just horrific favoritism. I will bless them in other ways, don't worry. Just with my presence at home. But my kids know they can't have it. But Abigail has offered to just be close to it by coming and being my helper for a moment. Okay, so there is a teenager. So this is high stakes. They also said to me, Dad, you're never going to get a teenager to come forward and volunteer. It's like, well, yes, I am. So you just know that. It's got some weight, all right? I'm never going to spend as much money on a preaching illustration ever again, okay? So, Abs, if you could just stand over that side for a moment. All you need to do to get this is come to just in front of the drum booth. You're going to have to wear this eye mask, okay? But the whole point is, there are no tricks. I'm not going to, create massive obstacles for you. You wear this, and you'll follow kind of my instructions, and then you will arrive at the point where Abigail's in the building, and she will hand you the box of abundance. All your friends are going to see what's in the box of abundance because you're going to show them afterwards, and they're going to be like, oh no, I could have gone that. If you're a boy, you're going to like pretty much everything in the box, but there might just be a couple of things that you look to give to your sister, all right? If you're a girl, I just think you're going to like all of it. Now, if more than one person comes, oh, I'm soon seeing that shake of the head, you're so going to miss out. If more than one person comes, we're just going to do a quick, what's that even about? Rock, paper, scissors, okay? I'm not being nasty, everything's good. I'm going to need people to be quiet while you're following my voice, but afterwards everyone's just going to cheer massively, okay? We're with you, we're for you, we love you. I know you're not five. So I know that I'm not going to get a room full of people going, pick me, pick me, I so want to get picked. Don't leave me hanging. Come now. Be bold. Oh. Okay. Okay, I'm so sorry, Jonathan. I know, but you're too late. I was just going for the first two. Give him a round of applause, people. Okay. Anna, Ben, rock, paper, scissors, rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay, well done, Anna. I'm so sorry. There you are. Did you just put that on? So it's not massive, is it? So you're probably going to be able to see a little bit. Okay, Abigail, could you go to the position nice and stealthily? Thank you. Okay. Well done, mate. Right, I'm totally for you. I want you to get this box, all right? There are no tricks. There's no nastiness. In a moment, when I say sort of come towards me, just pick a nice steady pace, and if I need to tell you to stop or change position or change direction slightly, I'm going to do that, okay? But I'm committed to this as much as you are. You are going home with a box of abundance. Are you ready? Okay, just hold on for a minute. Okay, so Ben, what I want you to do, that's right, give the crowd a wave, is first of all, just follow my voice. Oh, that's tricky because it's coming out the speakers as well. But if you can hear me, yeah, that's nice. Keep coming. Come. A little bit further. One more step. Okay, stop there. You're on top of the baptistry covers now. Now, rather than follow me, my voice at this point, I'm going to give you an instruction. And you need to follow that instruction. Okay, you ready to listen? Okay, you need to turn to your right just a little bit less than 90 degrees. Okay, turn to your right just a touch more. Okay, you are now facing directly down the aisle. Okay, so keep listening to my voice, but you're going to go in front of me now, all right? I'm still with you. You're doing well. Keep going. So walk on. Walk on. That's great. You're perfectly fine. You're not going to crash into any chair. There's no obstacle. Just wait here for a minute. Stop there. You may now take off the blindfold. And you can see the box of abundance, and you may go and get it. You can have the blindfold if you really want, but you don't have to do that. Okay, so that, maybe don't read too much into this illustration, but it's to kind of just start to unpack what the times of refreshing look like. And you think, really, blindfold? Honestly, is this like a picture of the Christian life? You're blindfolded most of the way? Don't read too much into it, okay? But can you hear, what were my instructions to start with? First of all, I said it quite a few times. Come. Come, follow me. What did I say at this point? I did say stop, and then what did I say? I did say turn. Before I said turn. Listen, thank you. Yes, you were also listening. And then I said things like, you're on track, keep going. And then I said, you can take the blindfold off. You can now see what's in front of you. So when you come through here and think, what a time to refreshing look. Look at how this passage unfolds. First we get come. God himself says come, we're going to look at that. God himself says listen and give ear. And then later God will say see. Verse 4, see. And we'll look at that in a minute. And this word is not there in the text, but at the end there's kind of like discover. And we're going to discover something. And so times of refreshing, I think, have these qualities to them. And so first of all, we're going to look at the word come. And this shows us, I think, possibly the warmest invitation in the whole Bible. And just look, so we're seeing here, first of all, in verse 1, And then we'll see it from verse 6 onwards. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. And it goes on to say, why spend money on what's not bread and your labour on what does not satisfy? Times of refreshing for God's people is God's idea. God says, come. And you know, like that kind of over-the-top warm, I hope you've had one of these at some point, that over-the-top warm invitation, almost as strong as I won't take no for an answer. Come, come. Now sometimes, maybe for the more reserved amongst us, sometimes maybe as a Brit we can be a bit like this. It's like, well, I said, you're welcome to come over to my house. Like, why have they not come? I said it once, I meant it. They should believe what I said. And they should know they could just come. And you're like, well, yeah, that's great. Well, I know you said it then. But sometimes, like, invitations do need to get repeated a little bit, don't they? For us to be really convinced and really sure they really mean it. So let's come to God and come to his word and see how much he really means it. Times of refreshing are God's idea. God wants us to be refreshed in him. And that's why, as well as being God's idea, times of refreshing are God's initiative. He repeats that encouragement, but also the pattern itself repeats through the course of the chapter. The whole pattern repeats. He says in verse 1, come, and then later on he's gone through it, he said a lot, and then he says, come again, in effect, in verse 6. Seek the Lord. Like, God wants us to seek him. Like, why did God work out a plan before time began to wipe out our sin? Was he just looking to forgive us? Was he just looking to kind of be kind, but not... Think of it this way. Imagine there is, in this church, I'm not kidding, like, a genuine trillionaire. I don't even know how many noughts that is, okay? Somehow they've made a huge amount of money, and they're a great guy. They don't really want thousands and thousands of friends, but this guy does really want to be generous and help people out. Actually, the illustration probably works better if we don't know him and he's not in the church. But anyway, he's with his £1 trillion, he's set up an absolutely massive fund. And with that fund, he's going to wipe out lots of people's debts. And you find out about this, and there's an invitation, and you receive it, and you apply to have your debt, your financial debt, completely wiped out. And there'll be a bit more on top, like there's a bit of a gift to go with it as well. And you're like, well, who was this guy who's totally cleared my debts? And you have to do some digging, you have to do some research, you try and find out, and you do manage to track this person down. And you think, well, what can I do to show my gratitude? I can't pay him back, obviously. But I don't just want to write a card. I know what, I'm gonna go around to his house, I'm gonna knock on the door. I'm gonna just say thank you so much. And so you go, you knock on the door, you find this guy and you say, you probably don't even know me. My name's whatever, you know. But I just want to say thank you so much for what you've done. I mean, you have totally changed my life. I will always be grateful. And then this look of surprise and slight awkwardness comes across the trillionaire's face. It's like, well, I was really happy to clear your debt, but it's highly inappropriate that you're stood on my doorstep. I don't even know how you tracked me down. It's probably best if you go. And so now you go, and you're like, you're still really grateful, but you've also got this like shame complex going on. It's like, he just thinks I'm just one of those people he helps out. There's actually no relationship there at all. It's just, oh, great. And maybe then, like, once a week, you kind of like have a special moment where you think about that person, and you think about what they've done for you, and you're like, it is so great, but it's kind of sad that I needed it. Yeah. Isaiah chapter 3 is amazing, but you could go through that passage and get the wrong idea. You could think, look at the amazing thing that God has done, and then think, oh dear, wow. It was necessary for Jesus to die, for my sin to be wiped out. It's wonderful, I'm so grateful, but I'm also still a bit ashamed. And so we need an Isaiah chapter 55 for it to become abundantly clear, totally spelt out, I wiped out your sin for a reason. It's not the end. I wiped out your sin for a reason that you might actually come. I want you in my life. I want you to come to my house. I'm knocking. It's not even that you have to knock on my door. I'm knocking on yours. Come to my house. This repeated invitation by a God who's forgiven all our sins. Why? Because he wants us. God wants you. God desires times of refreshing for you. It's God's idea, it's God's initiative. We can even see how in the scriptures God's done it time and time again. He says to a people living in slavery in Egypt, come my way, I'm getting you out of here, I'm rescuing you. He gets them to Sinai and he says, listen to my voice, I've got some things to say. There are some things that please me and there's some things that don't, but I've got a great plan. You know, so they've kind of come through, they come through the water, they're here. Now they're gonna go through a little bit of a wilderness. There are gonna be times when they're thinking, oh, got to persevere, got to keep going. It's worthwhile. Why? Because there's a promised land at the end. Like, yay! But now they're going to look back and they think, well, we've moved on from that and we've blown it. And God will say to them in Isaiah, see, the former things have taken place. Now I'm declaring to you new things, even before they spring up. Why? Because God's going to go to them again. And this time, they're in Babylon. And he's going to say, right, now, come. This is the time. Come with me. Come with me. They're going to consecrate themselves. Again, they're going to turn to the Lord. They're going to receive his word. And then they're going to walk, and they're going to trust, and they're going to believe, and they're going to get back into their land of promise. But you know what? They're still going to blow it. It doesn't quite work out. This isn't quite the glory that you were prophesying about. And why is that? Well, we kind of blown it again. So this time, Jesus comes. And Jesus comes, and he's beckoned by the Lord. He's baptized. He comes, and he perfectly embodies, listens to, and lives out God's word. And then actually he has some wilderness experience, things that he needs to persevere through. Indeed, his own death and resurrection. But I'm going to trust. I'm going to keep going. Why? Because there's a throne in glory, and it's going to be surrounded by multitudes of people that are saved and are enjoying times of refreshing forever. It is worth me keeping going for that. I'm trusting God and I'm going to see his goodness. And now the call comes to us. Maybe that call has already come and the call is, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. Turn, hear my word, learn, follow my ways. And then, right, persevere. You're going to have to persevere because we're into some dicey times. It's not all going to look totally wonderful all the time, but then you're going to be able to see what God's got for you a little bit more, and ultimately you're going to receive your own personal, eternal box of abundance. And it's so abundant that things will be coming out of that box all along the way, which doesn't deplete your heavenly delight. It just means you get to taste some of it already. All I'm trying to do is persuade you that God is more committed to your relationship with him than you are. And God's desire is for your refreshing is stronger than yours is. God's desire for you to know him cannot be quantified. And sometimes what happens, oh, we might not get to the other points, but I'll give you a few highlights. Sometimes what happens is, and I know this is just a phrase, and maybe I shouldn't get hung up about it, and you could tell me afterwards, actually, I find that phrase helpful. But the invitation is God saying, come. Sometimes Christians turn that around, and they say, if you need refreshing today, refreshing's available, but you've got to, I've used this phrase myself, forgive me. What we have to do is we have to press in. The language of press in. And you could probably think of points in the Bible where people do press in. The woman who is bleeding is ignored by the crowd. There's a crowd of people all after Jesus. They all want their refreshing. They're all looking to be close to him. And Jesus doesn't even know her, doesn't know her name, doesn't know her condition. But by faith, what she has to do is push in, push right way through, ignore the fact that she's kind of irritating a few people, get to him and just touch the hem of his robe. And then and she receives her healing, and Jesus turns around and says, "Who touched me? Power's gone out of me." I thought you were the savior of the whole world. Do you not know who's already touched you? Now that is a beautiful story. But sometimes what happens when Christians use the language "press in" is what we're saying is there's a limited opportunity, folks. God may not even notice that you're in the room. You need to do something to get his attention. And if you get his attention, then he'll bless you, but fear of missing out, you could miss out. And so sometimes I've been in situations and it's like, okay, it's going to be a response. And what you have to do is like, almost like you feel like you have to be the first one here. And then we have like graduated blessing. Okay, if we have a response in a minute, you kind of know, right, if I get here, then I really know God's going to bless me. If I get there, I think God might bless me a little bit. If I can't reach that space and I'm just down an aisle somewhere, then I don't think God's going to bless me, but I'll just try. I'll go anyway. And we live with this idea that God's generosity is limited. It's limited in time. It's limited in scope. And you could miss out. You don't have to press in. Right? Sometimes as Christians just get way too intense. And it's like pressing in means I've kind of got to make a facial expression, or I've got to look really keen. It somehow puts the emphasis on me to do something to get God's attention. You don't have to do that. God already wants to refresh you. It's already his idea. It's already his initiative. It's already his desire. There are things we need to do. But there's massive blessing here. It's interesting, though, because for Isaiah, there's still some things in the passage that could kind of jar or kind of warn or challenge us a little bit. Kind of, come to me. Come to me. Now, let the wicked forsake his ways. Maybe we will just go on to another couple of points. Come to me. Listen. Part of our refreshing comes, of course it does, by the word of God. You know, come to me and drink. It's just to notice this. It says, come to me and drink. You can get water, milk, and wine. Okay, water. You know there are those moments where you need refreshing. You're absolutely parched and you're desperate. And God's saying, come. But God isn't just for our emergencies and a special meeting. So he's also got milk. What's milk like? Well, it strengthens you. It nourishes you. Have some every day. Look what happens to the newborn baby just having milk in kind of relatively little amounts. But just keeps building up. Well, I'm going to come, I'm going to listen to God's word, I'm going to receive from God's word. Not just in one epic moment of refreshing, but do you know what? Just that daily habit of drawing on his word and getting back into it and knowing God wants to bless, wants to strengthen. That's going to bless me. And then there's wine, because every now and again, God just does want us to have a party. Not get drunk, but maybe have a gladdened heart. Well done for finishing your exams. You win first prize. Let's celebrate with a glass of water. That would just be bizarre, wouldn't it? There was no water in the box of abundance, was there? No. Listen to God's word. And we can have as a slogan this kind of idea. Oh, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. Now, if you just have that as like a fridge magnet in your life. You know, oh, God, should I do this or should I do that? Well, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Oh, yeah, probably not. What about, you know, what's he talking about? What's he just said? Come to me, listen to me, forsake your wicked ways, and I'm going to completely, freely pardon you of all your sin. Because my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Forgiveness itself, it's not a human thought. It's a God thought. It's what God loves to do. For us, it could be like the most difficult thing to do ever. For God, it just kind of comes naturally. Of course I'm going to forgive you completely. Now, if you need forgiveness from somebody else, you're like, yeah, they should be able to forgive me. Yeah, enough time has passed. I've showed that I'm sorry. But if you're the one who's having to forgive, you're like, whoa. I mean, do they really understand? Do they really know? How could I, you know, as if I should just move on. I need them to kind of pay a little bit. Because forgiveness is not our fault. God comes and says, I'm just going to do it freely. And I'm going to strengthen you in my word. You're going to see. This is what the prophet wants to do. The prophet wants to say, look, you're going to keep going down that line. You're following God. You've met with him. You've been refreshed. You're going to keep going. Actually, sometimes there are some challenges. Life is a bit of a wilderness. So I want you to see something. Sometimes the refreshing comes as the prophet just helps to open our eyes. Because our heads are down. We're going to keep going. It's a whilst now since we got refreshed. You know what I mean? And I could really do with just something. And then you notice blindfold comes off. Why? You know, the prophet's going to say, see, that's what a prophet does. They want to encourage us. Say, look ahead, look at what's coming. It's worth it. Look what I'm doing. This is not just about your survival. It's not just about, I'm trying to make it through the Christian life. I'm just trying to do the right thing, Lord. And I'm shattered. Just open your eyes. See what's at stake. See what God's got. See what I'm doing. See this bigger picture. See, like, nations are going to come. This is not just for you. It's not just for one nation of people. Nations are going to come. Wow. Well, that's mind-blowing. And, like, trees are going to start clapping their hands. The whole of we're heading towards abundant, eternal refreshing. And some of that's going to come in the here and now, and we're going to be refreshed. And some of it's just to get into our hearts. Go, I think God's got this. I think God's got us. I think I can persevere. Because God's for us. God's doing this on purpose. He's leading us somewhere and we're going to discover him. We get to discover God. No point to elaborate on that one right at the moment. But why don't we stand? The worship team, come and join us.